Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start by just highlighting a couple of metaphors used in this hymn all throughout. One of them is light and darkness arise and shine in splendor. Let night to day surrender. So this is like what we were talking about. We're in the season of Epiphany and the light is growing. The light of the world has come to shine on those who were dwelling in deep darkness. So darkness is this experience of confusion, of limited perspective. It's difficult to understand what's around you when you're in the darkness. So applying this spiritually, we pray in the hymn, let night to day surrender. Your light is drawing near. We're talking about Christ coming and illuminating our hearts, giving us spiritual light to see what's truly good, for example. So the other metaphor I want to mention is connected. See earth in darkness lying. Okay. Why is the earth lying in darkness? Because darkness tends to be lower down. Right? Obviously, if you go in a cave, it's going to be dark, right? Because you've gone pretty far down. The farther you go down into the ocean, the darker it gets. But even just if you lay down on the floor in between the pews, it would get a little bit darker. It's dark in a valley compared to the mountaintop, let's say, because some of the light is blocked. It's darker in the forest than it is above the trees. So lower down is associated with darkness, and higher up is associated with light, just naturally. We got a little glimpse of that in our introit this morning. I'm looking at the third pair of responsive lines from Psalm 40. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. Okay, so what's it like to be in a pit? It's dark, right? You can't see much around you because there are obstructions. There are things obstructing your view. You can't see. The pit of destruction. Now, the psalmist isn't simply saying, I fell in a pit and you sent someone to help me get out, right? That would be kind of the physical reality. It's like Jonah going and down into the sea. I'm getting excited because we've got a reading from Jonah next week. So we won't say too much about that. You know, but then there's also the pit of his spiritual state when he turns away from God and says, I'm not going to Nineveh. Right? Like, that's the pit. He is confused. He's in darkness. He's shut out the light. He's in the pit of destruction. So this low down and high up imagery, it's important to our gospel reading, and we'll get to that in just a second. But Christ comes down from heaven in order to raise us up with him. Right? He comes to earth to raise us to heaven. Not to a place, so to speak. That's not what I'm talking about now. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Like now. Elsewhere he says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. So this raising up to heaven, it's a lifting you out of the pit of destruction where you can't see anything and where you're going to die. Or the miry bog in the next phrase. The miry bog, but that gets into some other symbolism too, right? Like not being on solid ground and then being put on the rock, right? But just imagine being down in that low place in the pit or the miry bog without understanding where it stinks. And then to be raised up, let's say, into the sky, right? To follow the imagery. You get raised up into the sky, and rather than be in a pit where you can't see anything around you, now you're lifted up and you're looking down, right? You've got all kinds of perspective. Just like climbing the mountain out of the valley, now you see everything around you, right? More and more, and then when you get to the top, you've got this 360 view and you understand. And not only that, but now the air is clear and fresh and you've got the breeze and, right? That's what we're talking about, being raised up to heaven. Christ has seated us in the heavenly places with Christ. He's given us spiritual perspective. He's given us His Holy Spirit to see things, to see reality the way God does. He's brought us to Himself, you could say. All right, so now for our text, gospel reading from John 1. We're going to focus on the last bit. So Nathanael is brought to Jesus, and he's amazed because Jesus says something about him that he shouldn't know. He doesn't know Nathanael, but he says, "There's an Israelite indeed in whom there's no deceit." And Nathanael goes, "Whoa!" You know, or actually says, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael goes, "Whoa, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus says, "Because I saw you under the fig tree, you believe because I said that? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." It's a little bit cryptic, but there's a way to move forward in understanding this. So let's start with, "You'll see heaven opened." You'll see heaven opened. Now, that was the theme of last week, right? With Jesus' baptism. The heavens are torn open and the Spirit descends. But think in terms of this heaven and earth imagery. Right, that heaven and earth meet here. There's you have access to heaven. The heavens will be opened. Okay? And why do we want the heavens to be opened? So that God's gifts can come pouring down, so that heaven can meet earth, so that we're not stuck in the darkness and confusion of our sinful nature that's turned away from God. You'll see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, we get a clue in the liturgy this morning as to how we should take this. Just a little clue. It's sort of hidden, okay? But that's true with a lot in the liturgy here. All these, it's all constructed carefully. And we get to just kind of sit in it, experience it, and pray for understanding. We get to grow within all of this that's given to us. So the verse, the Alleluia and verse, right? We sang Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. And then the verse. "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." This is a verse from Isaiah. And it's put here to point out this is talking about Jesus and to connect it with Jesus saying in John 1, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Okay, so who's Israel? If Jesus is Israel, right? But who are we talking about that Jesus is? Well, you got the Israelites, right? They're the people of Israel. But we're going to start by going back a little farther to the guy named Israel, right? Jacob. God changes Jacob's name to Israel, and then Israel comes from him. And that's what Jesus is referring to with these words. He's referring to a dream that Jacob had. Jacob is tired. He lies down with his head on a rock, and he has a dream. Above him, there's a ladder extending from earth to heaven, with angels ascending and descending on it. You see the connection. You will see the Son of Man. You'll see the heaven opened and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Okay? "You are my servant Israel." Right? This is, okay, so Jacob sees this. He sees the ladder stretching from earth to heaven and angels ascending and descending. And he wakes up and he says, "God is here and I didn't know it." He says, "This is the house of God." Okay, so he calls the place Bethel, which means house of God. And he says, "This is the gate of heaven." He's saying, this is the place where heaven meets earth. Israel says this. Israel has this dream. Well, that's what Jacob's descendants are, right? Or that follows Jacob's descendants. So Israel is at Mount Sinai, and God says, "I have taken you to myself as on wings of eagles." Remember that? Eagles' wings, you know. I've taken you to myself as on wings of eagles. Well, where is God that he would take Israel to himself? Up there, right? They're at Mount Sinai. He's at the top of the mountain, maybe above the top of the mountain, when Moses goes up to meet with him, right? God is in heaven. But he says, I've taken you to myself as on wings of eagles. You have been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. You see how this works. Heaven meeting earth. Where does that happen? It happens, well, among God's people, right? God's people, Israel, are the people who have God dwelling with them on earth. Where? In the tabernacle, in the temple, right? The temple on Mount Zion, where various passages in the Old Testament say something like this, that all nations will come and ascend the mountain of the Lord, right? That all people will be brought up to God. You've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You've been raised up out of the pit of destruction, out of confusion and darkness. You've been lifted up with Jesus. You've ascended with him to be spiritual, you could say. So Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In the next couple chapters, in a couple different ways, Jesus will say that he's the temple. He's the place where God dwells on earth. He actually said it earlier in this chapter, chapter 1 of John. He said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is tabernacled among us, right? The tabernacle is the place where God dwells. So he's saying, I am the connection point between heaven and earth. Come to me to receive from heaven. Okay, so why do we want the heavens opened and angels ascending and descending? Like, why do we want to be in that space? Why do we want to come to that place? Why do we want to come to the temple, Jesus Christ? What's so great about the heavens being opened and the angels ascending and descending? Let's start by imagining it this way. Let's say you're in a really tight spot. Okay, maybe you've lost the keys. Or maybe it's more serious than that, right? Maybe you have an illness that you're very concerned about, or somebody else does that you know. Maybe you're in the middle of a war and you have guns pointed at you, right? Maybe the most extreme example I can think of right now of what would make me really want God's help. So these are all kind of earthly examples, right? You are physically put in danger or physically needing something. Of course, we would love for God to come down from heaven and free us from that situation, to lift us up out of whatever situation that is. But Paul says in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay. So, we have all kinds of physical concerns and needs and things like that, but Paul is refocusing us to the spiritual, which is so much more important, so much more pressing, so much more dangerous. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Again, it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Oh, right. Which one of us can fight the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places? That's above our pay grade. But that's the battle that we're in. Right? The devil would have us die spiritually. He would have us turn away from God, be unreceptive to his word, reject Jesus. Right? Those are the goals of the devil. So he goes out to Jesus in the wilderness and tempts him, right? Turn these stones into bread. And he's hoping Jesus will turn someplace else than to God. Right? He hopes Jesus will listen to his stomach like normal human beings would after fasting for 40 days. See, we've spiritually died. right? That's our sinful nature. That we in the garden turned away from God, listened to the serpent instead. We've turned to our own bellies, made gods of our bellies, right? And to glory in our shame, as Paul says in Philippians 3. That's our story, but it's not Jesus' story. Because Jesus is the man from heaven. He's not just an ordinary guy. He doesn't suffer from the same problems we suffer from. He became like us in every way, but without sin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Right? That's what Gabriel says to Mary. The child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God, because he is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Not just his mind either. Okay? Think about it this way. Why is Jesus born of the Virgin Mary? Why is he conceived in her womb? Body and soul together? Just the whole human being? He's conceived by the Holy Spirit. His body comes from heaven. He comes from heaven. All of him. So he doesn't listen to his stomach. Right? His mind and his stomach, they haven't been twisted together like ours have. We hear an insult or just something that's difficult to hear. Maybe it's the truth. We hear it and we have a physical reaction. Has that ever happened to you? Like you hear something that confronts you and your heart's pounding. Even if you recognize, like, well, this is true, I need to listen to it, still, boom, 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 you know, you just start. Oh, you have this bodily reaction because our mind and body are together in sin, right? They've been twisted together so that we often do follow our stomachs or, you know, apply that to other sin, right? But not Jesus. He's the man from heaven, not susceptible to that. He's the man from heaven come to defeat the devil in the wilderness, come to defeat the devil on the cross. And he has for us. And he gives us his victory. You've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ to do battle with the spiritual forces of evil, not because you have that power, right? You've been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, not so that you can, you know, slice up the spiritual forces of evil because you're so good at it now. It's the sword of the Spirit. You have the Spirit wielding the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. You've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ so that you've got a new reality. That's from Ephesians 2. You've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. At the beginning of Ephesians 2, he says, we all were once following the prince of the power of the air. See, that was our former reality without Christ. It was the pit. It was the pits. You know, God lifted us up out of that. So when Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, you'll see the heaven open and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man, I think we should think this way. That our reality, apart from Christ, is kind of the opposite. For us, apart from Christ, we're closed off from heaven and a pit is opened, right? Like the earth is opened to swallow us up. And there's another kind of ladder. And the devil and his demons, right? You were once following the prince of the power of the air, right? Apart from Christ. Like that's the other reality, is that we're drawn down into the darkness of sin and death unknowingly. This is why, thanks be to God, we rejoice in being raised up with Christ. That in Christ, just like last week we saw, in Christ, the heavens open, the Spirit descends, God says, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased, right? In Christ, that's our reality too, from Ephesians 6. You also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The same way, this morning, we hear this. You'll see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And you can see yourself in Jesus, right? You've been united to Christ in his death and resurrection. You've been united to him so that you are in Christ. and you have, right, in Christ, angels ascending and descending. Heaven is open. God is pouring out his gifts into your heart. Right? He's creating a garden of Eden in your heart so that you and others can enjoy its fruits, right? The fruits of the Holy Spirit. You have heaven opened to you, and Christ's victory is yours. Right? You're not subject to the demons and the devil. In Christ, you have victory over them. In Christ. That's why this battle is a battle for faith. You're in Christ by faith as you look to him. You'll see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Everything that God has at his disposal, he's given to his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has given to you by his Spirit so that nothing can touch you in him. You are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.